The second reading is from the book of John, verses 19 to 31. It can be found in the second half of your pew Bibles on pages 108 and 109. The reading comes just after Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene at the empty tomb. She tells Simon Peter, who runs to the empty tomb with the other disciple, and all they see are the linen cloths there. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Thanks be to God. So doubt is not the opposite of faith, it's one element of faith, is a quote that I like. What I say is to doubt is to be human, and to trust is divine. And in this passage, Jesus tells us to keep the Easter hope alive. Of course, this is about the famous doubting Thomas, who wasn't there the first time that Jesus appeared to the disciples. But why was he so adamant? Why did he feel he had to touch the wounds of Jesus in order to believe? Maybe it had something to do with what life was like right after Jesus was crucified, for they had put their leader to death, and they were fearful. The disciples were probably fearful for their own lives. Not only that, they would have been in shock. They had lost their leader, their companion, their teacher, their person who was like as close as a brother or a sister. So they also would have been in deep, deep sorrow. They had just lost that person, like a mother or father who was so close to them. And now he was gone, or so they thought. Yet the doubt in this story is still very striking. I wonder if there's more to the story. So I imagine Thomas wondering how this could be. How could somebody come back to life? It didn't make any sense to him. I imagine that Thomas was there when they took Jesus' body off the cross and they wrapped it in linen cloths. So of course he would doubt that Jesus had appeared again. And the door was locked. How could somebody appear through a closed door? I imagine that Thomas had this uneasy queasiness in his stomach, thinking that this is crazy. How could this be? Maybe he thought the disciples were so overwhelmed that they were having visions. Maybe Thomas was frightened. And he couldn't share that fear with anyone else. He certainly couldn't tell the other disciples. I imagine maybe he couldn't even sleep at night, thinking maybe Jesus might appear in his room. So I imagine on the way to the meeting the next week, when the risen Lord was to appear again to the disciples, that Simon Peter asked Thomas if he believed in the risen Christ. And Thomas froze. He didn't want to admit it. So he said with bravado, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and I put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." This is tough talk. Maybe he didn't want to reveal how he really felt. Thomas had doubts. Even though Jesus was an amazing teacher and he knew the Hebrew scripture and he could bring crowds to him and he had charisma and he healed people and he didn't even charge like the other people who were healing people. But risen from the dead? This was a whole different matter. So maybe, just maybe, he was afraid to hope that there is something after Jesus' horrific death on the cross. So we went to the meeting with the disciples the next time when Jesus was to appear again. And I imagine that Thomas sat by the door in case the authorities should show up. He'd want to make a quick exit. And then Jesus arrived. He appeared and said, "Peace be with you." Thomas nearly fainted. The blood rushed from his face, and he felt a little weak in his knees. And then Jesus looked straight at Thomas and said, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side." Thomas felt sick to his stomach. It was as if Jesus knew exactly what he had said. Maybe he did. But Thomas couldn't move. And then what Jesus said next was, "Do not doubt, but believe." Funny, Thomas believed now. Something changed. All of a sudden, he saw Jesus and he believed. He didn't need the proof. He didn't need more proof and to feel the wounds on Jesus' body. He didn't need to put his hand in his side. "Jesus was the risen Lord. My Lord and my God," he said. It must have been as if a 1,000-pound backpack full of rocks was lifted off his back. His hope came alive. And then what Jesus did next was surprising. He asked, "Did you believe because you have seen me?" Thomas might have wondered if that was a rhetorical question. Did Jesus know how he really felt? And then he said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." So Jesus makes a distinction here between faith and trust. He tells us not to doubt. He's asking us to trust, to suspend disbelief. and to put aside our own desire for physical proof. So to me, trust is believing in something without necessarily understanding how it works, like electricity. I wrote this before there was a big power outage on Friday, but I'm sure you can even relate to this even more. When we turn on a light switch, we expect the lights to turn on. We just trust. We don't really understand how it works, unless there's any electrical engineers in here. A few weeks ago, I had a paper due on a Monday, and it was Sunday night, and my computer was running out of battery charge. And yet, there was no charge going through my computer, so I checked the power strip. And then I checked the light switch, and that wasn't working. And then I went in another room, and the lights there weren't working. And then I went down the hall and asked my husband, and we talked about it, and we agreed there was probably a power outage. And our neighbor came down the street to find out if our lights were out, and we just couldn't believe it. It's funny how we have to verify things with others, even though it's pretty obvious that things aren't working. And then I had to download the PG&E website on my phone so I could get notifications and find out when the power was going to come back on. Did I really need this? Wouldn't I know when the power came back on? And then the funniest thing is I kept turning on a light switch every time I walked into a room. I just am so used to it. We're so trusting in electricity. It is right there at our fingertips. We trust that it's there. So it's this trust that Jesus is addressing here. He wants us to have trust in the resurrection. It's not just faith in something that's seen. Even Thomas wanted physical proof, even though he was one of the disciples. And they had told Thomas that they had seen the risen Lord. That's what Scripture tells us. Or maybe he was afraid. Maybe he was afraid of something so big, so powerful, so life-altering, so truly profound, that he couldn't bring himself to believe. Do we really need to have someone physically present to feel their spirit? When somebody dies, does their spirit still live on? Do my mother and my father still live on in my spirit? Absolutely. Is Christ the risen Lord? Absolutely. How do I know this? How do I know this? I trust the message. And if it isn't true, I don't want to know. Because there is something alive in me that is only alive because of the risen Christ. Without the Son, there would be no presence of God for me. Without the Word, I wouldn't know how God wants me to be in the world. I would not know God's loving presence and compassion and deep love for me. And I wouldn't have the power to be that person in the community. I wouldn't have faith in something bigger than myself. And I know that God desires a connection with me and with the risen Christ and with all of you. You see, we're all connected, but it's a different form of electricity. It's a power that doesn't go out. It's a power that's there whether we turn on the switch or not. We don't need to put our hand in his side. Christ is by our side. We don't need to put our finger in the nail marks on his hands. We put our hands in his hands. It was a violent world that put Christ to death on the cross. And now we know there's more to the story. You see, the risen Christ isn't part of the story. It's the whole story. It's a fairy tale and a comedy and a tragedy all rolled together, said a wise man. Christ is the revelation of God, and we are so very blessed to be part of the risen Christ. But not everyone gets it. We're so darn stubborn. We're always looking for evidence of this or that. But without the risen Lord, there is no life in his name. So I say, go out and live the story of the good news of the risen Christ as if our lives depended upon it. Let us keep the Easter hope alive.